And welcome to this week's Spine Chillers and Serial Killers. I'm Tash.
I'm Emma.
And I'm Becky.
Yay, she's back.
Hi. Becky's back.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Our go-to Becky's song back. When someone's back.
Tell a friend, guess who's back, guess who's back, guess who's back.
She's going right to the end.
Well, yeah, she went really low as well.
So low.
Anyway, everybody okay?
All good in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, same. I was talking to my husband earlier in the car.
How was that?
It was okay.
Lucky you having a husband.
Sometimes we have a little chat. And because we were listening to the podcast, because my husband never really listens to the podcast, so...
Rude.
And we've got grandparents over at the minute, so the kids were at the grandparents, and so I put the podcast on.
Sorry, were you alone with your husband?
Yeah, in the car, and we weren't even doing anything kinky.
Really?
No, we weren't. We were driving to go and pick the kids up.
Okay.
Did you listen to the High Five episode, and did it get you in the mood?
To be fair, just any episode.
No, actually, not any episode, because we were listening to Chills and Kills number 6, where we talk about practically nothing but poo, so that definitely didn't get us in the mood. But he said, you know, your podcast should be in a comedy category. And I'm like, oh, but if you put comedy on the, like, you know, because when you publish your podcast, you choose like little categories that it's going to show up in.
Yeah.
So ours is true crime, because for some reason paranormal doesn't exist, apparently.
Right.
Our category is true crime. And I think if you put the label comedy, then you've got the pressure of, are we funny?
Well, no, because comedy is subjective.
Yeah, comedy is subjective. And also, I listen to quite a few podcasts that I only get the, you know, I do get the odd laugh, but they're not comedians. They're just people that are having fun making a podcast like what we are. And they say true crime comedy podcast.
Oh.
I do agree. We should definitely put comedy in there, because...
Are we that funny, though?
Babe,
I don't know.
How are we not?
We don't get the people thinking that we're really serious, a really serious, well-researched podcast. I mean, you're pretty well-researched, but I'm not.
I'm not that well-researched.
But it also opens us up to a different audience as well. So I definitely think put comedy in. I think... Listen, I think we're comedy gold. Mate.
You're the confident one. Yes, but just because we think we're funny, does that mean everybody else thinks we're funny? I don't know.
Yeah, but that's three people thinking each other's funny. That's pretty like good odds.
So, listeners, should we put, if I can change it, I'm not even sure I can change it, but if I can change it, should we put comedy true crime? God, that sounds sick and twisted, doesn't it?
No, because we're not laughing at that. We're just laughing at ourselves.
Yeah, not laughing at the victims.
Oh, no, God, no.
Some of them.
No, I don't think we've ever laughed at a victim, have we?
I think we have, when we haven't realised they're the victim, when they've got weird names.
Okay, yeah, that's different. It's not like we've gone, ha ha, you died.
Yeah. We laugh before we know who they are.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell us what you think. Should we go for that comedy tag or... I don't know. So, anyway, yes, this week... we're going to do things a little bit differently because obviously Bex is just joining us for some giggles.
Yeah.
And she hasn't done a true crime story, which is absolutely fine because me and Tash didn't expect to be joined, to be...
graced by my presence.
Yeah, we weren't expecting to be graced by your presence. So we'd already got our little spookiness sorted. So again, this week we're going to be more... on the paranormal side, but maybe, what do you think, Bex? Next week, should we be back to...
Oh, yeah, normal? I'll have something ready by next week.
Cool. So that's what we're going to be doing. So Bex this week is doing a bit of a Tash, and she's just an observer. She's just chilling.
Yeah.
No stress.
Just in the background here.
Laughing.
Yeah. Chilling. What's up? What's up?
God, don't say that.
What's that? Did we do that when Tom was on? Or did we cut that out?
We did.
I can't listen. I can't hear anyone say that without thinking of Tom. What's up?
So this week, we're going to talk about first responders and their paranormal experiences. Because if you think about it, these, I mean, they are like everyday heroes, really, aren't they? You know, they're the first people to arrive on scenes of horrendous accidents. And, you know, they encounter people when they're at their absolute most vulnerable.
Mm.
And they do face life and death situations often.
Oh, yeah. Probably
not on a daily basis, but, you know, quite a lot. So I guess it makes sense that occasionally they're going to encounter something a bit weird and inexplicable.
Uh-huh.
Me and Tash, we've got a few hand-picked stories for you and some listener stories too, because I think the listener stories that we've got fit in rather well with this.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Everybody comfortable?
Yes.
I mean, I've got awful heartburn, but yeah.
You've had four Renés, though, so that should pass.
Pray for me.
Were you not, the thing is, though, because you've had four, will you not start frothing at the mouth in a minute? Don't drink vinegar.
Drink vinegar. My favourite drink.
Shall we do experiments with Tasha's stomach? What should we make her drink? So, okay, our sources for this week. So, as I said, we've got a couple of listener stories, so we'll get into those later. My sources were an article in Ranker.com written by Jessica M. Thomas. I also got some stories from a book called 50 Real Ghost Stories of First Responders by Eve S. Evans. And I also used a book. Look at me with my books. I'm just reading. I'm reading. Going to be so clever at the end of this, I tell you.
Yeah, you really are.
So the other book, funnily enough, is by Eve S. Evans as well. And I didn't realise this at the time. So she must like her paranormal books. So it's a book called Terrifying Stories of Haunted Hospitals by R. Harrell and Eve S. Evans. So there we go.
Oh.
Are we ready to get spooky?
Spooky, yes. Spooky.
This first one is actually really nice. It's not scary. It's just a really kind of comforting story.
Ah. Oh.
Former EMT firefighter here. One night we got a call to do a wellness check on someone who dialed 911 but didn't respond to the operator. So we pull up to the address and the house looks perfectly quaint and a little old lady greets us at the door. We ask her if she knew who placed the call, but she told us that she lived alone since her husband had died. We barely got back to the station before a call comes in again, same address as before. So we drive back out, talk to the old lady again, then leave. And just as we get back to the station, the same call from the same address. No response. It's just someone ringing 911. I'm saying 999. 911, but not speaking.
That's weird.
Yeah. Okay. We drive out there again, believing that the old lady must have been confused. But this time, when we pulled into the driveway, the old lady wasn't at the door to greet us. There was no reply at the door, but it was unlocked. We take a peek inside to find the old lady was on the floor and wasn't breathing. We rushed in to help and got her to hospital in stable condition. When she woke up in the ambulance, she still claimed that she never called us, and we arrived almost immediately after she'd fallen. It was a 15-minute drive to her house from the station. Before she was admitted to the hospital, she asked me and another EMT if I could bring her knitting needles and a bag of clothes to her in the hospital. I offered to pick up her stuff because I had a friend who lived in that area and we were going to hang out anyway. So I pick up my friend and drive to the lady's house. I ran inside to grab the bag and knitting stuff while my buddy sat in the car. But just as I was leaving, I swear I felt a hand on my back and heard a voice say, "Thank you."
Oh.
When I got back in the car, my friend asked me, why couldn't the lady's husband bring her stuff to the hospital? I explained that her husband was dead. But when I said that, my friend said, but I saw an old guy in the window. He smiled and waved at me.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
At first, I refused to believe in anything supernatural, so I called the police and asked them to do a sweep of the house. I thought it could be a squatter. Nothing was out of the ordinary, and no one was inside. I later brought my friend to visit the lady. He started describing the old man who was in the window, but the lady almost immediately started tearing up and said, "That's my Harold."
Aww.
Aww.
Harold. Oh,
Harold. Harold was looking after her.
Yeah.
And it was like he just kept bringing them until, you know, because he knew what was going to happen. So I thought that was very sweet.
Oh, Harold's such an old man name, isn't it? I wonder how many babies were born last year that were called Harold. Harold is the 962nd ranked male baby name. Male baby name. Name. It's so one out of every 8,090 baby boys were called Harold in 2021. Oh. So more than I thought.
That's actually not that uncommon then, really, is it?
Yeah, I really thought there'd be like two Harolds, like naming them after the granddad or something like that. Yeah, there we are.
So yeah, bless him, Harold. He was watching out for his missus.
Oh, bless him.
What a darling.
On to story number two. This is all that this. It's all going to be like mini stories this week. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good, because that's all I've got. If you'd have said no, I'd have been proper fucked.
I'm sorry, no, we're not into that.
No, I don't like it. Do more work now. We'll wait 3 hours.
Okay, so next story. I'm a detective and spent some time as an ex... Well, no, this is a story.
You lie. That's not what you do.
I mean, I suppose I am kind of a detective, really, with the amount of research I do every week.
I'm going to say, I do feel like a detective when I'm doing mine. Yeah,
yeah, we are. There we. Maybe we should, like, start a business, Bex.
Maybe.
Yeah. I could be the chatty secretary.
Yeah. Oh, who's the one watch... Does anyone watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah.
Who's the one... Is it Dina? You know... She's the secretary in there. That'd be you. Is it called Dina? Something like that.
I don't know their names, but the sassy I know which one you mean.
Yeah.
They're like redhead.
Yeah. Who just comes out with the best one-liners and is very...
Yeah.
Yeah. There we are. Yeah.
Basically me.
Right, so are we ready now?
Yeah, sorry.
I think we are, yeah.
Little interlude there for you all.
So we've all established I'm not a detective. I'm just reading the story. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
My bad.
No problem. I'm a detective and spent some time as an expert on sex crimes and crimes against children. It was the best / worst assignment I've had. One case I had came in at midnight. A young woman with a toddler comes into one of my precincts to report her ex-boyfriend raped her during a custody argument. Long story short...
Sorry, I just don't... How does that even happen? Like, you're rowing about the kid and then he decides to rape you. Like, how... I can't even...
Control, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, in a sick, twisted mind, it's I'm asserting dominance, I imagine.
Yeah.
So fucking vile.
Horrendous. So long story short, it was legit and one of the most violent and sadistic cases I've ever had. So I'll spare the gruesome details. I still have no idea how this woman made her own way to the precinct with a toddler. Part of the investigation requires me to talk to the toddler. Victim said the toddler was present for everything. So that's horrendous as well. So I'm a child forcenic. Is it forcenic? Is that how you say it? Forcenic?
I don't know. Don't ask me things.
I don't know what this word is.
Well, you know, like a forcenic detective. You know, it's a crimey, murdery thing, isn't
it? I've never heard that word before, ever.
I'm a crimey detective.
What, forensic?
That's what I mean. Yeah, forensic. Oh. What was I saying?
Forcenic.
Forcenic.
I literally just thought it was a word I didn't know.
Oh, I was thinking it was something completely different.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I have to keep that in, aren't I?
Yes.
Forensic.
Oh, well... That beats esophagus.
Yeah, but you were like, you were so sure of yourself, Em. You were like, yeah, it's like a police word. No, it's not.
It's a crimey word.
Turns out Emma's not a detective, all right.
No, she did say at the beginning 3 times that she wasn't.
I'm so mortified.
Forcenic.
How is that even spelled? Why did you think... Hold on.
It's spelled forensic.
I can see how she's done it. Forcenic.
Oh. Shit. Oh, well, at least it's me. But it was me last week as well, struggling to pronounce
them. Okay. I can see. Oh.
Right. Everybody, honestly, I'm not stupid. Don't make noises like that, Tash.
Babe, come on.
Right. Look, were you there, Tash?
I love that.
When that word was written... You've not just invented the word.
Look, maybe the guy who invented the word and it went in the dictionary thought it was meant to be pronounced the way I pronounced it.
Every other English-speaking country is wrong. It's actually Forsnick.
Oh, shit.
It's because you were talking about arsenic last week at one point.
I'm sure we spoke about foreskin as well, so...
We talk about foreskin.
Forsnick, forensic, arsenic, forsnick.
Did you say foreskin? I thought you said we talked about foreskin.
Yeah, she did. Like, no, she said foreskin. I definitely heard that too. She's like trying to pretend that she didn't say it. Like, no, I didn't say that.
All right.
Oh, I definitely did. But anyway, let's move on.
This is a horrendous story, and I can't believe I fucked it up that badly. Oh,
now you're snotty.
Yeah, I've gone full snotty laugh.
I think that's a thing.
It totally is a thing. Right. I'm a child forensic interviewer as well. Did somebody just snort?
Yeah, I did.
I said it properly that time, right?
You did, yeah.
Yeah. During the interview, the toddler recalls their father becoming angry and hitting the mum. Then the toddler said that the nice woman showed up and she couldn't see past the nice woman. The nice woman held her and told her that they were both going to be safe and sang her a song in a different language. The toddler said the nice woman went over to the front door and knocked on the door. Then the nice woman helped them and their mum to the car before flying away. In the victim's interview, she said that her ex-boyfriend had a knife to her throat and put it to the skin to cut her throat open. But he got distracted for some reason, then ran out of the apartment. She had no explanation why. The suspect was caught about 8 hours later. He confessed to absolutely everything. When I asked him about the knife to the throat, he said this: I swear to God I was going to cut the bitch's throat open, but I thought I heard a knock at the door and thought it was the police. Once I saw it was clear, I ran outside. He's now serving life in prison and the mum and toddler are safe and doing well.
Oh, thank goodness.
I'd love to know more about the nice woman.
Oh.
So, sounds like another...
A guardian angel.
A guardian angel. Yeah, a guardian angel. I'm pretty sure I just said garden angel.
We can ignore that one. It's fine. Yeah, definitely sounds like it.
Do you know what we were saying before we started recording? That I just had a 4-day migraine and that when we had migraines, we couldn't talk afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it. You're doing way better than what I'd do in your position.
So...
Forsnick.
That's what I'm going to blame on Forsnick. Okay, moving on to the next story. Sometime after midnight, a police officer was doing his usual patrol around town. He was about to cross the town's bridge, which wasn't very well lit, so he slowed down. And there he saw, out of the corner of his eye, a woman stood by the railings of the bridge. The minute he saw her face... He knew she was distressed, so he began to think, is she hurt or is she about to jump off the bridge into the river below? The bridge was a well-known suicide spot. So he stopped the car, he left it running to use the headlights as lights and grabbed his badge ready to approach the woman. But when he stepped out of his car, to his horror, she was no longer there. Afraid that she had jumped, he rushed to where she had been standing and started scanning the water below. That's when he saw a large dark shadow in the water. It was a car, half submerged. He called for backup immediately, explaining the situation. He then rushed with his car down to the riverside, where another patrol car was already waiting. They had to wait for the diving crew, who were on their way. During this time, he couldn't help but wonder what had happened to the woman. She wasn't in the water, and he hadn't seen or heard her jump, but it was also impossible for her to have just vanished. The ambulance and the diving crew arrived, and they pulled two people out of the car. One was a woman, and the other was a little boy. Neither were breathing. The paramedics immediately got to work trying to resuscitate them. The young boy was revived and taken to hospital, but the woman sadly didn't make it.
Oh, it was her he saw, wasn't it?
It was only once the panic was over and calm had returned that the police officer saw the woman's face. It was the same woman he had seen on the bridge. She was obviously trying to get the policeman's attention to save her son from the accident, as she herself was already dead.
Oh, what a nightmare. Oh, that's one of my nightmares, is driving into water in the car.
Oh, mine too, man. I can't. Oh, bridges, I can't be dealing with.
Can't be dealing with bridges.
No. He describes that night as one of the most harrowing and creepy of his life, and one he will never forget.
Oh, I bet.
So, yeah. But see, Mummy Bear looking out for her baby.
Yeah.
Bless her heart. And she did it because he was okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What is it, though, with ghosts and bridges? Because you hear it a lot, don't you?
Like, it is a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I wonder if bridges become actual bridges into other worlds.
Maybe, but also because people commit suicide from them, don't they?
That's what I was going to say. Is it not just because, you know, they've jumped?
Yeah, and people were in distress and stuff. Yeah, that was a nice thought.
Okay, so another police officer, so we're still on police, but different story now. So another police officer was taking his lunch break in his car. He was parked across the road from a supermarket when something caught his eye. A young woman was outside the shop, frantically waving her arms, trying to get his attention. He remembers that there was something quite off about the woman. She seemed extremely pale, but he just put it down to the reflection of the light or something. You know, like when if sun hits somebody, they kind of look a bit weird, don't they?
Yeah. Things though, this person could have just been really pale. Like
if she's pale and it's a sunny day and like she's facing the sun. I get what he means.
Yeah.
So fearing that something was amiss, he put his lunch away and drove to the supermarket car park. But by the time he got there, the woman had vanished. He looked around, but she was nowhere to be found. So assuming all was okay and that she had just entered the shop, he went in to double check. The instant he went inside, he knew something was wrong. Everyone in the shop looked scared to death, and they were hiding behind shelves as best they could. He drew his weapon and quietly called for backup. Then he went towards what everyone else seemed to be looking at. No one had even acknowledged that he'd entered the store. He moved as quickly and as quietly as possible until he saw a man stood in an aisle waving a gun around. Oh. Two people laying on the ground by his feet in pools of blood.
Oh my God.
Oh.
He waited for the guy to have his back to him, and he managed to grab him and disarm him. Backup arrived and the gunman was taken away. It was only then that they began to count the fatalities. There were three dead and another critically injured. The survivors then began to tell the officers what had happened. The guy entered the store ranting and raving about how his girlfriend had cheated on him. Turns out she worked at the shop, and she was the first one to be shot.
Oh my God.
And since the man had a silencer on his gun, there was no way anyone outside would have been able to hear what was happening inside. It was then that the police officers saw the face of the first victim. It was the same woman that had been waving her arms around to get his attention. Only now he realised that it was her spirit he had seen trying to get his attention.
God, isn't it amazing?
And without her, there would have been a lot more casualties that day.
I wonder if she knew that she'd died, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. It sends chills up my spine, though.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
But again, she saved all those people. Well, yeah, not everybody, but she saved a lot of people in that shop. Bless her heart.
Oh, God.
Clever lady, even after death.
Indeed.
Back to the false Nick stories.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm never going to live that down, am I?
Well, I'm very forgetful.
We're very forgetful. Forget about next
Pray
week.
Pray that we forget.
You're not gonna, though, are you?
Probably will, actually.
Probably will. Everything. I think you put too much faith in us.
Yeah. Well, then we'll say it again at one time, and then we'll be like, do you remember that time you said false Nick?
But in my defence, right, I know that was a horrific mistake.
There's no defending it.
No, there is. Listen, just give me a chance. I know this is a true crime podcast, but I'm not the true crime one. And it was a true crimey word that I got wrong, not a paranormal word.
Yeah, what's the mummy word that I can't get right?
Sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus. There we are.
So there we go.
Well, we both have work to do.
Listen, I get lots of words wrong, so I need to get off my high horse.
No.
I'm not sure you do, though, Tash. I think you're just the one that kind of is there going, are you sure that's how you say it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I definitely get words wrong.
Okay, so for the final little story, this is a little segue into Tasha's part of the podcast where I think the stories, the listener stories we've been sent are to do with hospitals, aren't they?
Indeed, yes.
So this one is about a hospital. So it's about a doctor Lewis, who was most beloved at the hospital. All his patients adored him and the staff were equally as taken with him. He was excellent at his job. But being the caring guy that he was, when they lost a patient, he took it very, very hard.
Mm.
He would take days, sometimes weeks, to get back to his old self again.
Oh, bless him.
Until one time, he just didn't get back to himself at all. It's like he'd lost the love he once had for his job. He retired shortly afterwards, but died within a few months after his retirement. Again, his job was everything to him, his whole purpose, and without it, he just kind of faded away. Then, a patient arrived at the hospital. She was really, really sick, and she was getting worse by the day, and none of the doctors knew what was the matter. Nobody had any idea why she was being so poorly, and eventually the staff and the lady herself realised that she was going to die. One evening, an elderly doctor came into her room, one she hadn't met before, and he said, "Don't worry, I know what's wrong with you, and we'll start treatment in the morning." When she asked, "Why not start it now?" he just replied that she wasn't his patient, but she must tell the nurses in the morning his diagnosis. When she did, the nurses were a bit stumped, and when asked to describe the doctor she saw, the lady described Dr. Lewis to a T, even down to the round-rimmed glasses he used to wear. The staff rang the test for the diagnosis the woman had told them that the doctor had given her, and it was exactly right. She began treatment and made a full recovery. So even in death, Dr. Lewis is still keeping an eye on his patients.
Right on.
Oh, my.
I know. Spooky, right?
Oh, anyway.
Anybody else?
All right, Bex.
Think about you, I touch myself.
Oh, why are you singing that?
I had it in my head, so I had to sing it, and now it's gonna not be in my head now.
It's gonna be in my head now instead.
I don't actually remember a time in my life when I didn't have a Disney song stuck in my head.
That's not a Disney song, babe.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Imagine Pinocchio. When I touch about you, I touch my thumb.
Oh, look at my wood. It's so big.
I know I don't know how to pronounce forensic, but I definitely knew that wasn't a Disney song. What yeah. I meant was props to Becky for actually having a song that was a grown-up song in her head.
I mainly have like Genuine in my head, you know, the pony song.
The what?
Pony, you know. Get on it. Let's do,
do it.
Ride it, my pony, my saddle.
I like the Toxic Pony one, you know, with Toxic. That, oh, the yeah, mashup's good, really yeah. good. I had Do You Want to Build a Snowman in my head for about a year and a half when that came out. Yeah. That was fun.
I've still got it in my head.
You want to build a snowman?
Me and Ben, we don't know any of the lyrics to the song. It is a song from Frozen, but it's just this one line where it goes, and he's a fixer-upper. And that's all we can sing all day, just that one line of that song.
That's when the trolls sing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And they're talking about Kristoff. I don't know any of the lyrics, but he does it on purpose. He'll just come in and look at me and go, and he's a bit of a fixer-upper, and then walk off. And I'm like, fuck you.
That's very annoying for you.
And then if I don't have that in my head, then Maddie will walk in and go, we don't talk about Bruno.
No.
We don't talk about Bruno.
But.
It was our wedding day.
It was Tom's wedding day. We sang that outside the church.
There wasn't a cloud in the sky.
You were singing it right next to my kids and they were like, oh, they're singing in canto.
We're very cool.
So this is fun.
Anyway, yeah.
Tash, do you want to start off with the listener story that we got sent in from another podcaster from Horrifying History? So Horrifying History is a podcast hosted by a lady called Brenda, and she was kind enough to send in a story. So we're going to slip her trailer in here, and then we'll tell you the story. So go check out her podcast, and yeah. Enjoy her trailer.
If you like weird and strange history, then I have the podcast for you. My name is Brenda, and I'm the host of Horrifying History. Are you into the dark side of history? Horrifying History tells you about the side of history that people don't normally talk about. We talk about the tales of haunted places, infamous true crimes, cursed items, and unsolved mysteries, and then we look into the science and documentation to see where does the truth actually lie. Want to get spooky with us? Get your Horrifying History fix by subscribing to Horrifying History, which you can find on any major podcast provider.
Okay, so the story goes as follows. Here's one story for you. I got my tonsils out at the age of 30 due to breaking my nose. Yeah, horrible. Awful age to have it out.
Don't say that to Becky. Becky's got to have her tonsils out.
Thank you. I'm 31 though, so I'm that 1 year braver.
Yeah, you'll be fine, babe. I instantly said that in the instantly regretted it. I'm so sorry. You'll be absolutely fine, Becky.
It's supposed to be awful when you're an adult. I'm kind of hoping that they'll say nah, you
I
don't
just
need
think
them out.
Healing in general as an adult is a lot harder.
Yeah.
Because when you're a kid, you just don't care, do you?
No, I had to have my wisdom teeth out as an adult, and they were like, why didn't you have these out when you were a teenager? I was like, because my dentist was a knob and didn't do any x-rays whatsoever. And my dentist was awful. He was awful to his assistant. Anyway, that's another story for another time. Yeah. But yeah, that they were like, they've grown roots now. It's going to really hurt. So
and you were like,
that was awful.
Thanks. Can't wait.
Good way to lose weight.
I think I had my wisdom teeth, but I had 8 teeth pulled at the same time. Oh, and I think I was...
All them sweets. Have you got a little mouth, though?
Yes. Yeah. It wasn't because they were rotten. It was to make room for my other teeth kind of thing.
Yeah.
Your little baby bird mouth.
Baby bird mouth. So, yeah, they took out 4 wisdom teeth and then 4 molars. Do you call them molars in English?
Yeah. Yeah, molars. Yeah. Molly, molly, molly.
I'm pretty sure I was in my 20s when they did that. That wasn't very pleasant.
I had mine out.
I remember you having yours out and coming to school with purple cheeks.
Oh, yeah. You swell up and bruise something chronic.
Yeah, it's awful.
Mm. I think all I could eat was like soft cheese for ages.
Yeah, like mashed potato.
Well, I drank like warmish milk and stuff through a straw. And then my cousin was like, you really shouldn't use the straw. That's like, they warned me against that when I had mine done. I was like, I didn't have anything.
That's weird.
Yeah. Apparently like the sucking and like the position of the mouth and also warm liquids. Ugh. Sucking.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just leave you like with a gaping hole, don't they? Well,
yeah.
It's really strange.
Well, no, I had stitches with mine because I had, mine were impacted, so they literally had to slice my jaw and take mine out. But yeah, it wasn't great. I would not recommend to a friend. But
I would have preferred stitches and just like gaping holes.
I was thinking they're dissolving stitches.
Well, look at you, fancy pants. I just had gaping holes.
Well, you know, there are two types of girls. The ones that we... gaping holes. Oi, oi.
It's all that fingering. Sorry. Right. So sorry. Shall we get back to Brenda's story?
I'm just going to start again.
Yes, you better do.
And just so you know, Brenda did not say it was horrific having her tonsils out, Becky.
Yeah. Okay, great.
It was fine.
I'm really looking forward to it now.
Listen, the last time you had tonsillitis, a chunk of your tonsil fell out.
Stop,
it's not
that
good.
That made me feel so sick when she told us that.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to make Tash feel sick, but I need to tell someone. A bit of my tonsil fell off.
Did it like just land on your
tongue
and you had to
spit
it
out?
No, it's because you said that you can scrape off the white bit. So I was like,
let's
have a go. And I did it and like a bit of my tonsil fell off onto my finger. I was like, oh dear, whoops.
It was on your finger.
Yeah.
But having your tonsils out is not going to be worse than the horrendous sore throat that you must have had.
I really want to listen to Tasha's story, though, that she's attempting to tell us.
I mean, I'm just trying not to throw up at the thought of your...
can hear you swallowing really hard.
Right. Here's one for you. I got my tonsils out at the age of 30 due to breaking my nose via sport several times. The surgeon suggested that I get a septorhinoplasty.
Yep, sounds good to me.
Yep.
At the same time. That was hard.
It's better than forcing it.
Yeah.
Let's just say I was in pain, but at this point, drug free.
Oh, man.
I know, hardcore. It was the day after surgery when I woke up hearing my grandparents, my mother's parents, bickering at each other. I kind of giggled to myself, since these two specialised in bickering. In fact, I am shocked they ever get married, but I digress. Grandpa was saying how horrible I looked, and Grandma was crapping on him for that. She specifically said, "Of course she looks horrible. She's just had surgery. Why are you being mean?"
Yeah,
Grandpa said that he wasn't and was just saying that I looked bad after surgery. They kept on going until I said, "Can you two shut up? I know I look crap, so you don't have to fight about it." That's when I shut up in my bed. At this time, Grandpa was dead for 15 years and my grandma for 8. Then I started laughing since they fought constantly in life and still do in death. I thanked them for their visit and called my mum to tell her. She thought it was hilarious too.
Oh,
that's a little bit creepy though, isn't it?
Well, it's creepy but nice.
I think it's sweet.
Wholesome ghost story.
Yeah, yeah. Wholesome.
I don't know how I feel about that, though.
I think it's because it's her grandparents. It's
Yeah.
And there was no fear there. She was
imagine
just like...
Imagine it just being a couple of random ghosts that you don't know bickering about how ugly you look after surgery.
Yeah, I'd be like, come on. I've just had, like, pieces of flesh removed from my throat.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
That would be even creepier, to be fair.
I don't get why she had to have tonsillitis for a broken nose, though. I must admit, I'm confused on that one.
I think they went and took them out and this other thing as well because of the constant broken nose.
So a septorhinoplasty, that would be the...
Nasal passages, isn't it?
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah.
I'm guessing from the broken nose. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not a doctor.
I think that's really cool. I think they were just there checking up on her, you know, making sure she was all right.
Yeah. Granddad was like, "Oh, she looks off."
Yeah.
So, of course she does.
You can just imagine it, can't you?
You can, but sweet.
Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly.
Definitely sweet. We've got so many nice ghosts this week.
Oh. Yeah, I've really enjoyed these nicer ghost stories.
Yeah, no nightmares tonight.
Yeah.
So Thanks, Brenda.
Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate your story.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I've got a very miniature hospital story if you want to hear it.
Oh, go on.
It's not a ghost one, though. No creepy. I don't know if you guys remember. When Evan was about just before his second birthday, he was really poorly for a long time. Well, for quite a long time, he had like the stomach flu that wouldn't go away. And he got quite dehydrated and he had to stay in hospital for a couple of days. Because he was so tiny, I could stay in there with him. You know, hospitals have those big iron radiators. Well, this one does because it's an old hospital.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to stay in the bedroom with Evan on this put-up bed, but they had to put this bed right up to this iron radiator because you couldn't fit in the other side, but in case another kid had to share the room. Luckily, while we were there, though, we had the room to ourselves. Well, I couldn't sleep very well, but I must have got to sleep at some point because in the night I had somehow turned over and pressed my ass all the way up to, with knickers, my bum, all the way up to this radiator, and burn actually really scalded my ass.
Oh my God.
And I had like a little bubble that grew on my little bum cheek because I'd actually, pressed it up and must have held it against the radiator for quite a long time and it really burnt my bum.
Oh shit. How did you not wake up?
I don't know. I think I was quite tired from, he was ill for quite a few, for over a week, and I hadn't slept much at all. So I think I was just knackered.
Exhausted, yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't really, really hot. Like, you wouldn't touch it and then have to move your hand away because it was so warm. I think I just must have had it there for a while. Slow cooked.
Oh no.
So
slow cooked bottom.
Slow cooked. And it was like through my, I was wearing it was really hot in there. So I was just like wearing like a long t-shirt and like either those little pajama shorts or knickers. So it burnt through, like it got to my skin through that. Yeah. So there we are, that's my little hospital story. Be careful of the radiators.
Bottom.
They burnt your bum.
Tune in next week to find out how she sued.
Pseudocreme all the way.
So we also got a story from one of our listeners, Erin, friend of the podcast.
Erin's one of the like OGs. I think she's been with us from pretty much the start, bless her heart.
So we love that you've managed to have the time to write in to us. So it goes as follows. As for shared deaf experiences, here's the closest I have.
Oh, yes, because I'd actually spoke, right, just for a bit of context, because we did an episode on shared deaf experiences. And then I had chatted to Erin on Facebook, and it turns out that she's in medical care. So I asked her if she ever experienced anything about shared deaf experience. And she said, oh, yeah, I'll have to, you know, get it all together in an email when I get time and send it to you. So yes. this is that.
It's like they've been having a conversation and it starts off like that. So as for shared deaf experiences, here's the closest I have. My papa, in brackets, grandfather, was the true patriarch in our family. He had been sick for a long time. My second daughter was only about 8 weeks old. So when he was admitted to long-term care after a hospital stay, I didn't see him much. I would talk to him on the phone and he would tell me not to come in as he didn't want the baby to get sick. He declined. He was sent to the hospital via ambulance. My mum and dad went to be with him whilst I stayed with my grandma. I just knew he wouldn't be coming home. I called my sisters. One was on her way home. She lived about 5 hours away. My grandma was about to go and see him, and I fell asleep shortly after midnight when my sister got into town. I had such a vivid dream. I was in the intensive care unit of our local hospital. My papa was there with all the IV lines and monitors hooked up, ventilator helping him breathe. His body was there, but he was not conscious. My dad was sitting at his bedside. My mum and my grandma are in a different room. I sat there with my dad, hand on his shoulder, as the nurses came and disconnected the machines. We told Papa it was time to go and that we would take care of Gram. While we sat there in the room, my dad and I, until he took his last peaceful breath. I woke up then and looked at the clock. It was just after 2 a.m. Just a few short hours later, I received the news that Papa was gone. Later that day, my dad told me that when they made the decision to remove life-saving measures, it was too hard for my mum and my grandma to stay in the room with him. My dad stayed with him and told him it was okay to go. While they removed the machine and he took his last breaths, this all happened at the same time I was dreaming about it. I must have gone to be with them and support my dad too when no one else could. Oh God, that's made me feel a bit emotional, bless her.
Yeah.
That's like she had some kind of out-of-body experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is like that shared death one, isn't it? Was it the little boy died and his mum came to be with him and the stepdad was there and the auntie?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, isn't it?
But it sounds like an out-of-body experience and she was just there supporting and helping him pass.
Yeah. And supporting her dad, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Made me feel really quite emotional. Thank you, Erin.
Yeah.
So she also sent us in some bits from her work. So things that have happened to her there. Working as a nurse in long-term care is not for the faint-hearted. It is hard both mentally and physically. We bond with our residents and many of them become like grandparents to us. The facility I work at has many spirits and visitors, but nothing catastrophic or scary ever happened. Jack visits often. You can see him at night at the end of hallways as you pass by. Tall and usually has his hat on. He's a prankster. Will turn on call bells in empty rooms and make lights flicker.
I'm not a fan of Jack already, really.
Oh, I just think Jack's funny. I think jokes.
That's creepy to me, turning on call bells on in empty rooms.
I mean, it is a bit, it's a bit much, isn't it?
And seeing him, like, no.
I'm enjoying the two different opinions here. I don't know where I'd be. I think it depends who I'm with.
I think if you know...
If
like
I know it's him,
it's Jack,
I'll be like, yeah, Jack. Yeah.
But who is Jack? We don't know who Jack is.
We don't know. Other female residents can be heard at night saying, Jack, will you go away? Jack was a ladies' man, always wanting to snuggle up with the ladies. Jack was just old man. Jack was a ladies' man. So that was when he was alive, that he was a ladies' man and wanted to snuggle up with the old ladies. I think Jack's fun.
So now his ghost is visiting elderly women and they're going, oh, Jack, go away.
Ghosts can be horny too.
That is scary as fuck. Sorry. No.
I'm not against Jack. We had a facility cat called Pepper who would frequent the rooms of those soon to leave us here on Earth for their next place. Without fail, if Pepper was hanging around, we knew time was short for whomever he visited.
That's not the first time I've heard stories
that. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? That's quite...
Yeah, like if they have like a support dog or a support cat and the cat goes and sleeps on the bed and then the next day the person dies. Because animals know.
Yeah.
You know, I think animals have got some kind of psychic...
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But Pepper is a fantastic cat name, by the way.
Yeah, that's a cute name, isn't it? For me, one of my old nursing directors used to call me the Angel of Death. Now...
Oh, that's scary.
She goes on to say, now, that sounds terrible, but I promise you it's not.
It doesn't sound great, Erin.
I used to tell her, no, I was just earning my feathers on my angel wings. I have a sixth sense, I guess. My residents would always find a way to let me know when they were ready to leave us. I am a fierce advocate for my residents and believe that we should provide them the utmost comfort.
Aww.
I would have those tough conversations with families and reach out to physicians to bring on comfort medications and stop routine meds and blood work when it was time for palliative care. Mm. I've lost count of the times I would stop in and spend a bit more time with someone, bringing them some peace and letting them know it's okay to leave. Within a day, just that usually happened. One resident stands out to me. I can still see her face. I had taken care of her for years, and then she had a cancer diagnosis. It was a reoccurring one. She was moved to our hospice room after a brief hospital stay. Talking to her that evening, she said to me how beautiful the room was. It was just redecorated. She had said, our wedding colours were yellow and purple. I'm so ready to see my husband again. I know, sad, isn't it? At this time, she was in good enough health and not actively dying. I spoke with the doctor that night and told him I thought she was ready. He disagreed. I was off for 2 days, and when I came back, she'd passed.
Oh.
That's the way you want to go, though, isn't it? Like,
well, it sounds like she was
knew.
At peace.
She was like, yeah. I'm done fighting. I just want to go.
I think they're absolute heroes. I've said this to her before.
She
I
sounds
could not
like a
do
bloody
that
good
job.
Nurse, to be honest. She just really yeah. knows her patients, and she's obviously been in that line of nursing a long time, because they do just know, don't they? You know?
Yeah. Of course they do. But yeah, wow. Whew.
So she then goes on to say, our family just seemed to be a bit more receptive to spiritual and supernatural things. I could honestly share little stories for days. My dad often sees and experiences spirits. My parents' house has a ghost we all call George. He plays music in the middle of the night, shakes bed, throws things off mantles, and makes lights flicker.
No, again.
You're not a fan of a light flicker, are you?
It's the making the noises in the middle of the night, yeah. like music and stuff. That's creepy as fuck.
Mm.
And the shaking of a bed. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's just a bit rude, isn't it? Let me sleep.
Yeah.
Well, and terrifying.
Yeah, it is. She goes on to say, the activity is always greater when my sisters and I are all in the house.
Well, there's more energy to feed off.
And then she finishes with, love listening to you all and was so fun chatting on Facebook. I truly laugh out loud and feel like I'm in the company of friends as I listen.
Well, you are.
You are, yeah. We really enjoy having you listen. People probably think I'm a lunatic as I'm talking back to the podcast and cracking up whilst driving.
I do that with other podcasts, though.
I do it with our own.
Yeah, I may have done it with our own. Yeah.
And she still thinks that Jeff the mongoose is the creepiest fucker ever.
I mean, he's up there.
He's up there with the creepy fuckers. So yeah, thank you so much, Erin. That was so fun. And I mean, fun. Was it fun? No. It was sad. It made me want to cry. But thank you.
Yeah.
In a good way.
And creepy. Because like, yeah. I don't know, the way she comes across is like, oh, it's all good. It's, you know, it. But George and Jack.
Yeah.
No.
They're the creepiest little fuckers.
No, the mongoose beats them, I've got to say. But Jack kind of reminded me of the Tooele Valley Hospital one I did. You know, they always saw her. Wesley, wasn't it? It was Wesley at the end of the corridor. Yeah. No, not for me.
It's a no from us.
It's a no.
But thanks for coming.
No, but thanks for the story. I love the creepy stuff, but also I'm terrified of the creepy stuff. It's just the way.
We like to scare ourselves.
So, Bex, what do you think to your first episode of just chilling and relaxing?
I mean, it is more relaxing.
You don't feel so stressed?
I kind of envy Tash just sitting back and listening. No, I'm joking. But no, I am looking forward to doing a case for next week. But yeah, if Tash, every now and again, if you want to have a little swapsies.
I mean, I'm more than happy. My issue is I just don't have a lot of time to do research because of work commitments. Yeah. But
maybe Tash could be like the listener story person.
I'm more than happy to do that. That's fun.
Yeah, that's, yeah, exactly.
And then when we've got like a couple, one of you just, if you haven't like a busy week or whatever, one of you has a week off and I do that.
Yeah, lovely. No.
Lovely jubbly.
Lovely jubbly.
So I'm going to kill the mood a bit now, actually.
No, you're not. Yeah, well. I was about to say, waving awareness. I couldn't see.
Waving awareness? Is this like, way away?
I never speak like that, apart from here.
Now, listen, people do not realise how hard podcasting is, and I stand by this. You listen to podcasts and you think it's just people, you know, talking and, It's a piece of piss. It is so difficult to talk.
We do record late as well.
Yeah.
It is quite late.
It's really difficult for to talk. And then again, I do not a single piece of this, but I can imagine the editing behind it is just immense because we make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah, the hours of editing. But I mean, I don't mind it because I love doing it and, you know, it keeps me occupied and whatnot. It kind of ties into why this is going to be a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
So usually at this point in the podcast is where we're going to, you know, ask you to subscribe and give us a review and we plug all our socials. So this week it's just a little bit different because I'm going to ask you for an entirely different favour. So I've kind of mentioned it in passing in, you know, episodes before, and I hadn't really got a diagnosis, but I have a syndrome called SSDC, which is superior semicircular canal dehiscence. Probably not pronounced that right. It's a difficult word to pronounce. It's also known as Meniere's disease, so don't confuse it with Meniere's, because that's what a lot of people do when I say Meniere's. They're like, oh, you've got Meniere's, and it's like, no, I've got Meniere's. So it's an internal ear disorder where the bone in your inner ear canal is extremely thin or has holes in it. So it probably doesn't sound like a big deal, but believe me, it is, because your inner ears control all the sound you hear, but also control your balance. So the symptoms for this syndrome are you're hypersensitive to sound, you've got ringing in your ears, you can hear your own body, you can hear your neck bones move when you move your head, you can hear your eyes move, you can hear your heart beats. Some people have loss of hearing. There's the dizziness, which is what I have. People have dizziness induced by loud noises. So say like a car goes past that you weren't expecting, that's you gone, you're on the floor. People have bouncy eyes that bounce with their own heartbeat. People's ears feel blocked all of the time. And, you know, this sounds like a ridiculous long list of symptoms. And believe me, I'm probably missing many more out of this list. It is a daily hell for many people and it is extremely debilitating. So I don't have that entire list of symptoms, thankfully. Not yet, anyway, because one of the great things about this syndrome is it is degenerative, so it has a tendency to get worse over time. I am permanently dizzy from the minute I wake up to the minute I go to bed, like almost if I'd had too much to drink or been on a really rocky boat, that kind of feeling. And I am hypersensitive to sound, which is ridiculous for somebody who does a podcast. But hey, when I started the podcast, I didn't know I had this. And sometimes I feel very faint, which to anyone who has ever fainted before, you know that feeling just before you pass out, it's not very pleasant. So some people might have a symptom or two, and some people might have all of them, and some people have all of them plus some that I've probably forgotten about. It is such a bizarre illness and everybody's different. Nobody goes through it in the same way. So the whole point to this is I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about raising awareness because loads of people have never heard of this. Even people in the medical field, it is so rare and it's quite a recent discovery. Like I think they discovered it in 1998 and I think they've only been like operating on it since 2005. You know, it is really recent.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's loads, even in the medical field, there's lots of people that haven't heard about it. And people get misdiagnosed all the time and I was misdiagnosed multiple times. I've had ear crystals that I'm pretty sure I didn't have. And then I was diagnosed with something else called PPPD, which obviously I didn't have either. Because, you know, people didn't know to look for this thing. Even my doctor has never heard of this. And people get treated for anxiety or depression. I've actually talked to somebody who was put in a psych ward because of these symptoms she was having. It really is something we need to talk about. Oh, you know, because doctors always say it's stress or you're depressed or, you know, these are such wacky symptoms you're having, it's not actually happening. But it is actually happening.
Yeah. Well, they've been doing, some doctors still do that, don't they? Oh, you're just being a bit hysterical or you're just moaning about it or...
Yeah.
Yeah. Brushing you off kind of thing.
I mean, as lovely as my doctors were when this all kicked off, I was on depression meds, I was on anti-anxiety medication, and I was sent to therapy because it was all in my head, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this tonight because a few days ago, a lady in one of my support groups killed herself. She ended her own life because doctors did not believe her symptoms. She was diagnosed with Munchausen disease instead, which is where you basically make up symptoms and illnesses, except this lady wasn't making it up. But because she now had Munchausen on her file, that was it. She could never get any help, and now she's dead. So the favour I'm asking to our lovely listeners is, if you are a doctor or a nurse, could you please look up the syndrome and learn about it and talk about it with your peers? If you know a doctor or a nurse or a paramedic or anyone in the medical field, could you please ask them to look it up and learn about it? Please. I don't want another young person to take their own life just because their symptoms sound outrageous and weird. It's a thing. We need to be heard and believed. There is a surgery out there that repairs the inner ear bone, and people need to know what to look for. Just for information, it's a CT scan of the inner ear. And people need to know where to send people for help. There are specialists out there, especially in America. I think America is like leaps and bounds ahead of the rest of the world when it comes to this. If you have any questions at all, feel free to ask me on Facebook or email. I'll post all the links on how to contact us in our episode details. I am definitely no expert, as this is a pretty new diagnosis for me, but I can send you towards people who do know. So thanks for listening and helping me spread awareness, and I'm sorry to be such a downer.
Oh, thank you, Emma.
Oh, thank you,
it's
Emma.
It's really important to share that. So
yeah, you know, exactly.
It's courageous of you to do that, actually, because it is easy just to say nothing and sort of soldier on, isn't it? But, it's definitely important to raise awareness and share knowledge. Share knowledge.
I think when you've got people who are killing themselves, and after what I've gathered, she isn't the first person in my support groups that have done this. When you've got people actually killing themselves, it's time for people to do something about
it.
You know, if it was just for me, I'd have just kept it to myself because, you know.
Well, didn't you say that brain fluid can leak out of your nose and stuff as well? So it's not like it's pretty horrendous.
It is. It depends where the holes are, I guess, because basically your brain sits on your inner ear. So if your hole is touching the fluid that's around your brain, that's when you can get leaks and stuff. Yeah.
Oh my.
But this poor girl, I think she was only in her 20s, and she didn't deserve to be treated the way she was treated. And it was all from ignorance. Yeah. So it shouldn't happen. So look it up and tell a friend. Tell a friend.
Yeah. Raise awareness.
Indeed. So, thanks for letting me do that, girls. I know that was a bit of a crappy end, but I just thought we have a platform, so let's use our powers for good, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, shall we wrap it up?
Yeah. So, stay safe, guys.
Don't kill people.
And keep it weird.
Bye.